he is meant to be so much more to us than a religious figurehead that we just run to in the time of trouble. He is meant to be the bread of life to us. He's meant to be the living water to us. He's meant to be not just the provider for our physical and material needs, but for our deepest spiritual longings. And it's amazing when those longings are satisfied by the Lord, we don't need as much to make us happy. If you're still on a quest for happiness, if you're looking for whatever you think is going to make you happy, whether it be wealth or fame, or maybe you'd be like Frank and Ernest in the funny papers. I think it was Ernest was pushing on his belly button, and Frank asked him in the funny papers, why are you pressing on your belly button? He said, belly button? I thought this was my age reset button. If there was an age reset button that God built into us, I would press it right now and go back to 30. 30 would be nice. Yeah, I think they'd wear it out. I don't think they'd ever hit 40. I really don't. I think they'd wear the thing out. If you only had 3 presses, it would be gone. Amen. But you can't go back, but you can go forward. And what we have to look forward to is so powerful and so wonderful. Amen. We used to sing that song on Sunday morning, on the resurrection morning, when all the dead in Christ shall rise. I'll have a new body. Praise the Lord, I'll have a new life. Well, in fact, we have the new life now in us. So resurrection is just going to be something that takes place as a part of something that's already at work in us. But God is so good, and I'm so glad I know him tonight. We're glad you're here. We're going to move pretty quickly into this Bible study because we know we all have to render to Caesar tomorrow what is Caesar's. But tonight, we're going to give God what is his. And believe me, I think the Lord takes notice of whether he's given the tip of a hat on Sunday or if he's given the worship that is due him. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. Amen. Our praise should reflect how great and good and gracious God really is. And if it doesn't reflect that, then we're saying something to the world about us that we're not really demonstrating in our own life. Church is not a spectator event. It's not where you just listen to the preacher and you know, meet, eat, and retreat, or whatever they used to say about it. It is participation in the presence of God. He's here. Jesus Christ is here tonight. You know, if we had announced that Billy Graham had heard the radio broadcast on WMAF and wanted to come and visit our church, and he was going to be here tonight in person, I dare say we would feel like someone of status would be here, and we would be, you know, we would want to give honor. Amen. There's a lot of people that might fall into that category. But someone greater than, hey, Jesus is here tonight. I mean, you know, he's here. That's the plain living truth about it. Jesus is here. Amen. So if you're looking at me waiting to see whether I'm anointed or whether I have trouble getting started or what I say or whether it has enough content to say, then you're missing the whole point of our gathering together. We're gathering around his name. Amen. And when two or more come together in his name, recognizing his presence, he said, there I am. I'll manifest myself in the midst of them and to them. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And I like that. And then he said, if two or more of you on earth shall agree as touching anything that they shall ask, it will be given them of my Father, which is in heaven. For where two or more of you are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. So he's here to do a work tonight in your life and mine. Holy Spirit is here tonight. God the Father is here tonight. Praise God. We've got the Word of God here tonight. Praise the Lord. And the men and women of God are here tonight. So we're going to get something out of this service that God wants us to receive. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's pray about that. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for this day. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice in it, Father. Lord, we can't just rejoice in all the circumstances of life and all the things facing our world, but we rejoice in spite of these things because we know that ultimately you are in control. You are in charge of those who bow to you and acknowledge you. And Father, we know you have a plan for this world, and it is not for it to self-destruct. It is for this world to come to know Jesus, Father. And Father, we're part of that great last day harvest gathering people. And we thank you, Lord, on a small scale, Lord, but a significant scale, that we can reach out from this place, that this ministry goes out of here beyond these walls through the media and touches hearts and lives. And we thank you, Father, for that. And it goes out of these walls when we walk out of these walls and our lives touch and intertwine and interact with other people. Who knows but what we're doing the sowing, someone else is going to do the watering. But God himself will give the increase. I don't believe we'll know till we get home, Father, how many lives have been touched just because we served you. In the name of Jesus, we come to serve you again tonight. And everyone said amen and amen. You may be seated for just a little while this evening, and let's move on into to the subject matter that is ringing and resonating in my heart. I've often wondered why that so many things seem to be so absolutely undeniably clear in Scripture. One of those is the laying hands on the sick, praying for the sick, James 5:14. It is one of those scriptures. If there be any afflicted, God says, let him pray. Amen? God wants you to learn how, to be taught how, to be encouraged, how to lean on him when you have. And this word affliction is not for any kind of physical situation. It's for it includes trials, tests, temptations, persecutions. Can you say amen? Say it with me. Trials, tests, temptations, persecutions. It's that kind of affliction. Amen. They used that term when they wanted to punish Jeremiah for preaching the truth. Put him in a dungeon and feed him on the bread of affliction. That wasn't something to make him sick. It was something as a persecution to him, to give him enough to keep him alive, but not enough to enjoy in terms of food. Just give him a little bit of water and give him a little chunk of bread and let that be that. It'll let him live, but he won't enjoy any part of that process of keeping him alive. Feed him on the bread of affliction. Amen. If there's any afflicted, let him pray. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. But if there's any sick among you, everything changes all of a sudden. Amen. Hallelujah. You're not taught to seek this on your own necessarily. It doesn't mean that you can't. But it changes, doesn't it? The verbiage changes. And it says, if there be any sick among you, let them call the elders of the church. Let them anoint with oil. Any sick, call the elders, anoint them with oil. And I have not just predicted, but I have went on record through the unction of the Spirit of God, believing with you that the next great authentic move of God here in America is going to come where people gather together. It will involve people like us, small churches, large churches. Makes no difference to God to say by many or by few. Don't forget about the fact just because we're few, it doesn't mean he'll just do it for the few. It means he'll do it for the many too, praise God. So just because a church has 10,000 people don't mean God wouldn't move there if he could move there. Can you say amen? And many of them he can. David Wilkerson has a church in Times Square, New York, 7,000 people. That's pretty close to megachurch status. Amen. Hallelujah. But there are churches where God moves. And there are several churches that have a strong influence for the Lord that have really, really grown. And if we grew to 1,000, 2,000 people before my preaching tenure is over here on this earth, I would be so happy to minister, and I would hate to feel that God couldn't move in 1,500 like he could move in 50 or 30 or 20 or whatever. But the mighty move of God, this manifestation of God to heal has almost been taken from the context of the church and to do a lot of great things that God wants to do when two or more of us come together. Amen. It's been put in the category of who is the most anointed and who is the most gifted individual rather than something that is a gift to all of us and comes under the umbrella of God's covenant love for each of us. Can you say amen? It said nothing about seeking out the most anointed evangelist. One of the reasons evangelists usually carry special gifts and anointings is because a lot of times they are going into foreign countries in missions to reach the lost. And God uses these signs to qualify and quantify and confirm his word as it is preached with what following? Signs following. What is the primary sign that God used? Amen, was the healing of the sick. Go and preach the gospel heal the sick, cast out devils, amen, raise the dead, but go and preach the gospel. And these attending signs followed that. And that doesn't mean they stopped, because we're here in America and we have the Bible. If we're in a situation where he says, if there be any sick among you, let them call the elders of the church. Amen. Let them anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick. We talked about that this morning. We do the simple thing. God does the complicated thing. We do what is within our power, the natural. God does the supernatural. Can you say, Matt? It is a prayer of faith. We put our trust in the Lord. We know who's going to heal when we lay hands on people. Make no mistake about it. It's not my anointing in and of itself. I'm anointed, but God is the one who does the healing.
Amen.
Amen? If he authorizes me to use the name of Jesus, Jesus is the one that should get the glory. I can't take it. No one is going to be healed in the name of Robert A. Venable. And no one's going to be healed in the name of Oral Roberts either. He would be the first to tell you, if you're healed under this ministry, you're healed because of another name. The name that's going to be exalted when this is over is not Oral Roberts, it's Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? In my name, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Praise God. So I'm looking for this to happen like it's happening in South Korea. In South Korea, mighty, authentic revival has taken place. And South Vietnam, rather. In South Vietnam, it's taken place. It's happening in meetings just like this one. There's no huge central church like in South Korea, where there's great freedom of expression of the faith. There is suppression of the expression of the faith in South Vietnam. But the reports that come out of South Vietnam is that the miracles that took place in the book of the Acts of the Apostles are being replicated. There is nothing that happened in the book of Acts that isn't happening in South Vietnam. But there's no major evangelist leading it. There's no major church supporting it. It's when Christians come together, amen, and just come in harmony with one another, because we're two or more together, gathered together in the name of the greatest church in the city, or the greatest preacher in the city, or the greatest denomination in the country, as people might perceive it. No, when they come together in my name, he said, there am I. And he said, it doesn't matter. Again, many, few. It's not an issue. Two or more in my name, there am I in the midst of them. For if two of you on earth shall ask anything according, to my, shall agree as touching anything, then it'll be given them of my Father, because I'm there to manifest myself. I'm in the midst. That's why. It's because he's in the midst, willing to manifest himself, that he can make a statement. James said, listen, if you have a need, call the elders. God is here. Amen? Amen? God is here. You said, well, I haven't felt him yet. Well, that has nothing to do with it. Amen. God is holding this universe in its course. And you don't have to get up in the morning and have a hissy fit shouting time for God to do that.
Amen.
Amen. When you sense him is not when he showed up, by the way. Amen. It's when you became spiritually sensitive enough and quit focusing on the other things to where you recognize the presence of God. God is here tonight, and he wants to manifest himself. I believe that with all of my heart. And I believe the reason that they were so convinced they could talk like this is because they knew they had a covenant with God. And they knew when Jesus came, amen, he established covenant situations. And when you understand what covenant is all about, then we can begin to look at things a whole lot differently. I want to say something about a covenant tonight. We're not going to read that covenant scripture. We've read it several times. If you want to read it, Genesis 17, verses 1 through 7, speaks of the covenant between God and Abraham and to the seed. If you want to go over to Galatians chapter 3, it's going to identify us as the seed of Abraham when we put our trust in Christ. Why is God taking that lineage beyond Jesus? Why doesn't it just go from Jesus forward? Why does he take that lineage all the way back to Abraham? Because we have been grafted into the true vine. Amen. And Israel's legacy and their posterity, and it goes all the way back. Amen. To Father Abraham and a covenant blessing. Praise God. That covenant is running. And Jesus came right in there and established the new covenant, running parallel with the old covenant, entwining with it. Understand the difference between the law and the covenant. The law was given in a different situation than the covenant. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So these are covenant promises to covenant people. Say it with me. Covenant promises to covenant people. James knew that. So he said, we're covenant people. We have covenant privileges and promises and provisions. So if there's anybody that needs to receive what God's provided within that covenant, it's time to pray. God is going to keep covenant. So we can pray in the name of Jesus and see God do mighty things. Praise the Lord. A covenant is best understood, I want to make this statement again, in the framework of friendship, relationship. A true friend is completely committed to stay in relationship no matter what. If you've got friends that you have to walk on eggs to keep, you don't have a true friend.
Amen.
Amen. And there's a scripture bears that out, and it's in Proverbs 17:17. Listen to it. A friend loveth at all times. Say that with me. A friend loveth at all times. Isn't that incredible? If we use this standard for friendships, you probably don't have too many friends. You have acquaintances that may call themselves your friend, and you may call them your friend, but you better never fail them in some way. Because if you do, they can cut you loose and never look back. A true friend won't do that. Because a true friend won't quit loving you even if you fail them. That's why God's friendship is so vitally important to understand. He couldn't bless Israel. In fact, he had to chasten Israel when they were wrong. But he never went on record as saying he quit loving them. Because he came into a covenant to commit himself to a friendship relationship. Amen. An intimate personal relationship with his people. And one of the things that's missing in so much of the quote unquote faith teaching today is the relationship. Amen. The intimacy with God. We used to pursue that more than cars and watches and homes and all the other stuff. Listen, God cares about you. Don't get me wrong tonight. He cares about where you live. I really think that he doesn't want your roof to leak. I honestly believe that he wants you to live in a home where the roof don't leak. And you don't have to put out a bunch of pots and pans and dodge drops as they come down. Amen? I think he'd like you to have enough money to have it sprayed. I think he'd like you to be roach-free. Amen, if possible. I think God wants to take care of his children. Amen. Whether he wants to put a Bentley in your garage, your four-car garage, along with your Mercedes and your SUV, is really questionable. Amen? Amen? All the people that are following the people that tell them God wants to do that for everybody haven't got that. And it's amazing to me after 10 years of following the movement, 20 years of following the movement, and the only one getting rich is the preacher, preaching what he's preaching, that some people don't say, hey, wait just a minute. What's wrong with this picture? Amen? When pride is so strong in someone that they won't admit that they're following the wrong thing, or greed or avarice or the desire to have stuff has... When this prison of want holds people, they think if I don't achieve that or have that, I can't be spiritually successful and I can't be happy in life. What a travesty. What terrible spiritual values have been communicated. Can you say, man? I believe God wants you to have you a decent home. I think he wants to have you a car that will actually make it to church and back, take you to work and back.
Amen.
Amen. I think he'd like you to be able to buy a milkshake every now and then. I don't believe God just gives you just enough to survive on. I actually think that he would like you to be able to stop and get you a Dunkin' Donut, whatever, if you wanted it. Amen?
Hallelujah.
He's a good God. He's good to his children.
Real good.
Yes, he is. In fact, we're pretty good to ourselves. If God isn't good to us, we always got plastic. Didn't you say amen? But I want you to understand tonight that he wants a relationship with you more than anything else in the world. God wants your heart. He wants to be a friend. And he wants to be a friend by covenant. He wants to be a covenant friend. He wants to be a friend that loveth at all times. Wow. There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, the scripture said. Isn't that incredible? A friend more committed than a family member? Well, that's not hard for some of us to understand. Amen. But there's a friend that it's not blood that is keeping them in relationship. Amen? You ever seen a family reunion when everybody always wears T-shirts and you think it's a big gathering of the Waltons? Amen? Or something like that? It's not. There's people don't get along in those families. They all wear the T-shirts. They all meet and greet and eat, but don't let them stay together too long. Can you say, man, eat and retreat before the trouble starts between this one and that one and this one and that one? Every family has issues. I always say it. I got to say it again tonight. Do-do-do-do. Every time I think of family, I think of that song. I don't know why it is. It's just something comes in my mind when I think of my family. Amen. It's not that it's dysfunctional. It's just that it's a family. And people are different. It's a little family. You don't need a big bunch. All you need is two to have an issue. Can you say amen? And God says, I want a family relationship. I want a shepherd-sheep relationship. I want a father-child relationship. I want it to be so intimate, I want to identify with a nation of people as a husband. And I want them to identify with me as my wife. In the New Testament, it's bride and bridegroom. In the Old Testament, it's husband and wife. Can you say amen? Told him one time, your name will not be called a name in the Hebrew that meant divorced and put aside and put away, but your name shall be called married. And he said it to a nation of people because of his covenant with them. Amen. Everybody say, a friend loveth at all times. All times. God's desire to be our covenant friend brings a whole new dimension to our faith. While strengthening our faith, it deepens our fellowship. That's what he's after. I wrote that, by the way. I didn't read that. That sounded like it was somebody smarter than me, but it was actually myself. Amen. Hallelujah. As I studied the scripture, I understood God don't just want to strengthen your faith. He wants to deepen the fellowship relationship with you. To build faith without that relationship with him is not the way God approaches this thing. When man opens the door to Christ, what's the first thing he does? The very first thing he wants to do. If any man hear my voice, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open the door, I will come in. What's the very first thing? The very first thing. Above everything else God wants, what's the first thing he wants? I will sup with him and him with me. Can you say, man? Everybody picture a table for two. Everybody picture intimacy. Everybody picture sitting down with a good friend that you can be totally honest with and talk to, and they can talk to you, and you can have an intercourse of conversation. Amen. Because you care deeply for one another. You want to be with one another. Amen. And God says, if any man open the door, I'll forgive his sins, establish a covenant to give him a bunch of stuff, and he can go live happily in his, you know, his faith world. No, I want intimacy with you. The New Testament writer John said, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. The Greek word is koinonia. It's the same word used for communion. It's incredible. It's an interchangeable word depending on how you use it. It always involves intimacy between two people. Everybody say intimacy between two people. What kind of supper are we going to? Are we going to the victory banquet? Are we, because we have overcome the world, we're going to have a victory dinner when we get to heaven? No, you're not. You're going to the marriage supper. Because the bride and the groom have been united and our uniting is going to be consummated in heaven. Hallelujah. When we're together forever. Everybody say together forever. Together forever. Hallelujah. When Jesus talked about going away and coming and getting us and taking us to heaven, he didn't talk about the city. John talked about the city. Jesus never mentioned the holy city except to say there are many abiding places. Oh, but it says mansions, Brother Venable. I understand what it says, but in the Greek, the word mansion is translated abiding place. In other words, there's a place for you to live there when you get there. Is it going to be beautiful? I have no doubt that it's going to knock your eyes clean out of your head. Then you couldn't see how beautiful it was, but you know what I'm talking about. How about blow your socks off? Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I heard a preacher the other day, a teacher, talking about, be careful what you say because you always get what you say. And she said, I used to say that just blows me away, but I was teaching somewhere and a tornado came and the roof began to shake where I was. And I don't say blown away anymore, but... you ever heard somebody's fingernails on a chalkboard? Now, you know what's going to happen? I'm going to be standing here preaching. My socks are going to fly off. My shoes fly off. My socks are going to fly clear across the room. Because I said it blew my socks off. Amen. How extreme can we get before we say, hey, come on, quit that stuff. That's nonsense. Amen. Why don't I just say, I look like Brad Pitt. I look like Brad Pitt. I look like Brad Pitt. Poof. Now, I know you say, well, you're much more handsome than Brad Pitt. You should never say that. But people go to extreme. They take doctrines to extreme. They want man to be in control as if our words create our world. Honey, your world is not created by your words. Open your book to Genesis and your words didn't have anything to do. Oh, listen, you're the createe. He's the creator. Can you say, man, will the creature say unto the creator, why hast thou made me thus? Can you say, man, will the axe say to him that use it, why are you using me that way? I like it when God stays God and I stay me and I have a friendship relationship with an almighty God, hallelujah, that in spite of my weaknesses and my inabilities, he sustains me, he upholds me with the right hand of his righteousness. And underneath, everybody say where we really need it, amen, and underneath to support us are what? The everlasting arms. Why are his arms always available to support his covenant people? Because he's loved us as a covenant friend with an everlasting love. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And because he loves us with everlasting loves, then we are supported, amen, with those arms that never fail us if we trust in him. I love him tonight. A friend loveth at all times. One of the things that took me back when I came into Christianity and became a Christian, I thought, well, people with the love of God in their heart, they'll never quit you. We may have issues, but they'll never quit you. I thought Christian marriage was a covenant. And you can't control what another person does, but you can control your side of this thing. Covenants, friendship relationships, man makes them and breaks them until a man's word in these days. You better get it in writing so that someone can be legally bound to something. Because people's word is not their bond anymore. Amen? It's the truth. You better get it in writing so that someone can be legally bound to keep a promise. One of the signs of the last days, people would be truce breakers. Amen? Amen? I'll promise one thing, I'll do another thing. So just because I promise not to use this weapon in a way to hurt or harm doesn't mean that I won't change my mind 60 days down the road. That's why we're concerned about North Korea's launch of a quote-unquote satellite, communication satellite, and what they're developing is a ballistic missile that is an intercontinental ballistic missile that can come as far as Hawaii and even threaten the United States, not only the people in their region, but actually us. And right now there is a threat, as Hillary Clinton said, if you launch that missile, there will be consequences. And she did not elaborate on that. There is a threat. We already have ships ready to shoot that sucker down if we choose to. Don't know if we'll go to that extreme. Other people will make those decisions. But right now there is a poise. They're poised to shoot down that missile if they shoot it up. Because if they keep developing the technology with the kind of leadership they have, these crazy people in North Korea. Listen, the world is a tinderbox that we live on because people are truce breakers. They will say one thing and do another. There's a whole religion out there that says it's okay to lie to your enemies. If it gets you power over them some way, you can go ahead and lie. And a big part of the world is following that religion right now. It's Islam. Listen to me very carefully tonight. The Church of Jesus Christ is coming to a place that we need, amen, to understand the covenant promises of God. And we need to understand that it begins with a relationship. It doesn't begin with just getting things that he wants to bless us with. It begins with having a relationship with our God. Amen. The whole point of the New Testament was not to keep you out of hell and get you to heaven. Did you realize that? Do you realize that is the byproduct of something bigger? You say, Brother Venable, there's nothing bigger than missing hell and going to heaven. Yes, there is. God has something better than just keeping you from hell and getting you to heaven. Can you say amen? Jesus didn't mention the city. John mentioned the city. Jesus didn't talk about the city. Here's what Jesus said. He said, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. Everyone say abiding places. Because he didn't elaborate to give you some image of all the grandeur of it. He said, "That's you'll find out when you get there. And believe me, when you get there, that's going to be secondary. That's not going to be primary. That city that glistens with gold and precious stones is not going to be the primary thing you notice when you get to heaven. And what Jesus is talking about, he said, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also. Intimacy. God wants to hang out with us for eternity. Amen. He wants us near him, and he wants to be near us. It's his original plan in creation. Can you say amen? I'm going to say this. This say I and not the Lord, but I've walked with the Lord for a while, and I've read the book. Why did he bother making us in the first place? We've caused him a lot of trouble. Can you say amen? Hadn't fallen man given God a lot of trouble? Wasn't Jesus' heart broke in Jerusalem? Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Amen. Didn't he weep? Why did he do it? I believe there's a key to this in the fact that God is love. The New Testament said doesn't just say that God has love. He is the epitome of love. He is the essence of love. He is divine love personified. Praise God. Amen? God is love. And how does love fulfill? How is love fulfilled? Love is not fulfilled by taking. Love is fulfilled by giving. And angels just don't need that much. How many know if you've got a celestial body, you don't need healing? Love has nothing to do to help you in that area. Angels live in the holy city, in the presence of God. They don't need their light bill paid. Amen? They don't have to go to USAFE with a budget or to Aldi's trying to get something discounted. They don't have to worry about those things. Can you say amen? Love does not have to provide much for angels. I believe God loves his angels because God is love. He loves sparrows. He loved the sparrows that he made. Not one of them falls without your Father. But if love really wants to be fulfilled, create someone that has a great need to be loved and was not intended to survive without your help, and then have the joy of helping them. Amen? Amen? I saw people I don't even know. I thought, boy, if I was a millionaire, a billionaire, whatever, I saw a lady, a whole bunch of kids out and husband out behind an old station wagon. It was broke down and something coming out from under the hood, you know. And I thought, that's their old car. And they're trying to get around in it. They left them beside the road. And from the looks of the old car, amen, and all the kids, and you know that they probably didn't have AAA, amen. They probably didn't have enough cash to get it towed in. And there they are out beside the road. And I thought, you know, I'd love to load them up in my car, or just I'd love to be able to take them down to a car lot. I would just love, amen, to give them a nice Toyota van or some kind of van, a Chrysler or something, you know, amen. Caravan, a Dodge Caravan, and see them drive off in it. That would be a thrill to me. That would be more of a thrill to me than getting one for myself. You know what Jesus said? Because this is the way love always expresses and talks, it's better to give than it is to receive. And he didn't say there's nothing wrong with receiving. He said, but if you want to really get fulfilled in life, if you can give, you can find a joy in that. If you do it out of love, you can find a joy in that. When love is fulfilled in giving, for God so what that he gave? He so loved the world that he what? What? Listen, I want to take this a step further. We all know, I've been telling you about how bad they tore up Jesus even before he got to the cross, not mentioning what they did to him on the cross. But let me tell you what Jesus' attitude toward that. The Bible said, for the joy that was set before him, He endured the cross, despising the shame, for the what that was set before him? The joy. When is that joy fulfilled? When someone like you, sir, cries out to God for help, and God in his great mercy can reach down because of what Jesus did. Jesus saw you coming to Christ. He saw me coming to salvation. He saw Terry crying out, hallelujah, amen. And he saw beyond his pain and his shame. And for the joy, love is consummated when it brings that help and deliverance to people who need it. And angels didn't need it, but boy, did we need it. And don't we serve a gracious God tonight that loves us enough to give his son. And Jesus loved us enough to lay down his life. Amen. And the just, this is why you're escaping hell. This is why you're going to heaven. The just has suffered for the unjust that he might bring us to who? The God who wants to be our forever friend. Can you say amen? Somebody give him praise tonight. Bible said we are made what? A little lower than the angels. There's a part of us as eternal as they are, our soul. But our body is not like their celestial body. We were made a little lower than the angels. Can you say amen? Before God created man, he created everything man would need. One time I was considering that because I was into aquariums. I don't have the time to maintain them and keep them up. But they're tranquil. And it was fun sitting up in an aquarium. It was just a little 20-gallon. But, man, it was fun because I saw stuff, and I thought, boy, them fish get stressed sometimes, and they want a place to go and get out of the way where there's no stress. So I got to put some things down in here for the fish to go. One time I wanted to be a fish myself. It looked so nice down in there where he was. I thought if I could be a fish for 2 hours, amen, get away from the telephone, the responsibilities, I'd go right behind that thing right there. And I wouldn't do nothing but just sit there, cool my heels, chill with the fish. I don't mean sleep with the fish, chill with the fish. Can you say amen? But I set that thing up and I thought, what did God do in the garden? Amen. He went to work making a perfect world. Amen. Just a lavish love on his creation. Can you say amen? Everything he created, what did he call it? He said, boy, that is good. Amen. Before he created man, he created everything that he would need to be happy and fulfilled and provided for. There was no death and there was no dying and there was no sickness and there was no stress and there was no sorrow. And God said, this is good. But I got to give man what I give everything I create. I got to give him a will of his own. I won't make a robot. I won't wind him up. I want him to love me and I want to love him, but I want to win my wife's heart. I don't want her to have to stay with me. I want to fall in love with her again and again. I want her to fall in love with me. I want a forever friend. I don't just want a wife by contract. I want a forever friend. There are people in other countries that would marry an old guy like me just to get to America. And you could see me with this 30-year-old somebody from another country walking along, and what she wanted was a ticket to America, and what I wanted was this sweet young thing to make me feel young again. Is Pamela here? Is she back there? I'm making an illustration, darling. It's only an illustration. You don't have to come out here. Where is she? Oh, that, yeah, I know. No, I need the shield, brother. Okay. I need the shield of faith. Get me a shield. What would that be? What would that be? What about the guy that's got all the money? What about this guy that was, looked like a dried up raisin and he's got this lady? Well, he did. He's up in, we'll all get there if we live long enough. Can you say amen? But he's got this gal with him that, look like, what I'm saying? He's got this young thing, and yeah, I love him. Yeah, no, you do not. If he was not rich, if he didn't give you the bling bling, can you say amen? You would be hanging on his arm, and we all know it, and everybody else knows it. And if he don't know it, he's crazy. Can you say amen? That's not love. That's nothing. There's nothing really there. Amen? It's all superficial. God's love is different. God's love has no ulterior motive. Amen. God's love is giving. It's long. The Bible calls it, He's long-suffering. Long-suffering. Love suffers long. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. How long? It's everlasting. It's never-ending. Amen. Follow after faith, hope, and love, these three. But love, charity, divine agape is the greater of the three. Amen. Hallelujah. It never fails, and it never ends. I've loved thee with an everlasting love, and I've put under thee are the everlasting arms. Praise God. We used to say, what a fellowship, what a love divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Why are they that eternally committed to us? Because God has come into a covenant. He loved us enough to commit Himself to us by covenant. When he was asked, how do I know you'll keep the covenant? A fire pot came. An animal was slain. And God stood, the fire pot representing the presence of God, and the man stood between the two halves of the slain animal in the blood that was shed to slay it, and committed to one another. And what, you know what was being said by that? Let whatever happened to this animal befall me if I ever quit you. Incredible commitment. Can you say, man? Stronger than anything most of us know about, because it's God kind of love. And most of us in America, particularly in our culture, we know little of those kind of commitments. We don't even have those commitments one to another in churches. And to each other as brethren. Folks, we're going to live together forever. Amen. In a condo in the sky. Same big building. Amen. Amen. I know there's different rooms, but we're going to have to get along up there. Can you say, man? This is the dressing room for heaven. I'm telling you. This life is preparing us for that life to come. We need to get it together here. Get it right here. Can you say, man? Relationships are made and broken as if they're meaningless. And then we come along to the Word of God. We can't visualize. We can't fathom the kind of commitment that He's made to us and the kind of commitment He wants to solicit from us. When we hear that, we think He's asking too much of us, when really it's just a response. It's a requisite response to what He's given us. He's loved us with an ever. He loved Israel. And He said, I didn't do it because you're greater. He chose the smaller nation. He chose the fewer people. He chose the hard to love. Israel wasn't loved because they were lovable nationally. Read it. He said, you are a stiff-necked people. Oh, by the way, we're not so good at humility and meekness and being perfect before God.
Amen.
Amen. But He said, the reason that I'm going to treat you like I'm going to treat you is not because you're greater in number or more deserving, but because I made a covenant with Abraham. I made a covenant to love you, and my covenant I will not break. And I'll keep my covenant of love. Listen, through 1,000 generations, it's going to keep running. It's running tonight. It is in our generation right now. That's why James said we're covenant people. We can claim covenant promises. But before God wants you to use your faith to claim a promise, He wants a relationship with you. Intimacy is what it's all about. The just has suffered for the unjust. Watch it. That He might bring us to God. The Bible speaks of being reconciled. God wants reconciliation. God wants a relationship with people that have sinned against Him, turned their back on Him, spurned Him, broke His laws. And God says, I want a relationship with you, and I want intimacy with you, and I want to love you. And I want to express that love to you by forgiving your sin. And Jesus said, in my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go away to prepare a place for you. And if I go away and prepare a place for you, and everybody say the place. See, when people hear the place, they start visualizing, amen, something out of New Tampa over there in the gated community. No, it is a gated community, however. You are going to live forever, finally, in a gated community. Can you say, man, gates carved of a solid pearl? But the city is not what heaven is really all about, nor the streets of gold. Listen to this. I go to prepare a place for you that where I am. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Amen. This whole city, this whole heavenly city is so we can be together forever. Everybody say together forever. What happens when you get saved? If any man open the door, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, what happens? I'm going to come in. What's the next thing? Very next thing. Sup with him with me. Everybody say intimacy. John said, truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. You know who had all the questions? Peter. You know who didn't ask hardly any questions? John. And you know what they call John? Saint John the Beloved. And the Bible said God is no respecter of persons. Why is John the Beloved singled out? Well, because he understood what God really wanted. God didn't just want a follower. God didn't just want somebody saying, I'll never forsake you. And then when the pressure's on because they didn't love him with all their heart and share true intimacy with him, break down under the pressure. Amen. The Bible said John was that disciple, hear it, that laid his head on Jesus' breast. Can you say, in the Last Supper, there's one man leaning over on Jesus. That's John, Saint John the Beloved. Amen. Why was God able to love him like that? Because he understood that's what God's all about. That's what he came here. That's what he wants. He wants a relationship, not just a servant, but somebody who loves him. That's why when Jesus came to Peter after he'd failed and wanted him to go on and fish for men, what was the whole issue? Do you love me more than these? Not what are you going to do for me initially, but do you love me? Whatever you do for me, I want it to begin with a relationship with me, and I want it to be nothing less than loving me back. If a man love me, what happens? You keep my commandments. And hear this, for all the Christians you've ever met with a face long enough to eat oats out of a 2-inch pipe. Can you say amen? Listen, because I know there's plenty out there like that. None in here like that, thankfully. Or at least I haven't noticed it. Where's that come from? We're not loving him from the heart. If a man loved me, we want to please him. We want to serve him. We want him to be the Lord of our life. We want him to be our shepherd. We want to follow him. If a man love me, what happens? He keeps my commandments because he loves me, plain and simple. You try doing it without loving him, and it's grievous. It's tough. There's no joy in it. It's a job. Serving Jesus was meant to be a joy. For the joy that was set before him, all of that suffering was about to come on him. And he looked beyond the suffering, experienced the joy of giving, amen, of himself, and said, so many souls are going to come into the kingdom because of my suffering. No man takes my life from me. I'm going to lay it down. Hallelujah. Make no mistake about it. Amen. Don't be too hard on Pilate. Washed his hands. That didn't absolve him of responsibility. The high priest that wanted him dead, it did not resolve. They said his sin be upon us and our seed. And if you think God doesn't listen to stuff like that, look what happened, amen, a few years after he was crucified, amen, to the nation of Israel. When they burned the temple, they crucified 100,000 Jewish people, amen. In Rome, the term Roman candle didn't just come from the fireworks. It came from Christians dipped in tar that they used to light their parties at night while they burned on crosses. They loved him enough to die for him. Christian church in America doesn't love him enough to even live for him. Because to truly live for him, you've got to deny yourself and take up your cross. Crucify the flesh. Can you say amen? It's about intimacy. Thou shalt no more be called forsaken, put away to Israel when they returned and repented. Thou shalt be called married. Marriage is a covenant, isn't it? Amen? It's a covenant commitment. We're the bride of Christ. The whole issue of heaven is a wedding garment. The marriage supper is when we consummate our love for Him and His love for us in heaven. We sit down with the saints from all time and have that great marriage supper together. Can you say amen? If you don't establish intimacy with Him, you can have truth. You can have all the scriptural knowledge you want. If you're not walking in an intimate relationship with Jesus, you are unfulfilled. I don't care if you talk in tongues, run the aisle, get holy laughter, get Velcroed to the floor under the power of God. It's not about the power of God. It's about the person. It's about the person. It's about the person. One of the greatest weddings that I ever performed, before I did yours, is when two, I think we use the term forever friends, but is when a bride and groom, the son of a schoolmate that I buried his dad, in fact. We went to school together. We were close to one another when we were in school. And when his son wanted to get married, he came to me to ask me to marry him. And at the Open Door Baptist Church right over here at near Harney Road is where that wedding took place. And when I went to them to ask us about what they would like, kind of ceremony they would like, they said somewhere in the ceremony, because we just don't want to be man and wife. We want to be forever friends. Everybody say forever friends. How many know the legal concept of man and wife is one thing, but being friends to one another, to where you want to share the joy of life together and the heartbreak of life together, but you share it together. How many know joy is multiplied when you share it with somebody else? Amen. Amen? If I'm eating something good, I can't wait for Pamela to taste it. I remember when she didn't, I think it was pumpkin pie that she had not tried. She just didn't think she would like it. But I kept taking the spoon. Try this. You've got to at least try it. You can't say you don't like it unless you try it. And after she tried it, she really liked it. And when she liked it, so we could eat pumpkin pie together at Thanksgiving, the pumpkin pie was better for me when we shared it together. Sorrow is better when you're heartbroken and you can hold each other and you can get through it. A forever friend is something to have. All you've got's a cat right now, but you hold on to that cat. Can you say, man, we're going to make, you know, listen, he may have the gift of singleness, so don't try to set him up and don't try to put him on the spot. How many people have just run out and grabbed somebody because everybody pressured them? Don't ever do that. Make sure you don't have the gift of singleness. You know, Paul had the gift of singleness. I don't know if you've got that gift or not, but if you're happy with your cat, you've got it. Can you say, okay, I'm just kidding. I love you tonight. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We love you. Amen. We're your family. We're going to make up for anything. If you listen, if you need somebody to stand with you, we're here for you. Praise God. You are not alone in that sense. Praise God. You got a mama sitting in there. Is she in there? Yes, she is. You got a papa right here. Praise God. You got a brother right over here. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You got a grandma up there and a grandma right there. Hallelujah. Praise God. This is the family of God. This is about friendship, forever friendship. I want you to listen to this scripture because this is what God wants. He doesn't just want to establish covenant promises so we claim them and we get blessed. And He wants a relationship with you. All this works out of relationship. This is a faith that worketh by love. Amen? God wants to be a forever friend. I remember pronouncing, man, I now pronounce you husband and wife and forever friends. Every marriage should be based on a forever friendship. There is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Listen to this. 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 7. I like this. Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever. Everybody say, thy friend forever. Did I give you two discs this morning? The other one that you didn't play this morning is that one. Please do that tonight. Oh, this is going in the right direction now. Hallelujah. The seed, and he gave it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever. Say it with me, thy friend forever. What is it to be called the friend of God? Not just the servant of God, the son of God, the child of God, but the friend of God. Amen. One of the things that I wanted with my children is to be a friend. I play a military sim online with my son when he lived with his grandmother in Tampa. I'm in Plant City. We barely got to see each other except on Sunday. So the way I could communicate with him is go online at night and get my gun and try to hunt him down and shoot him. Can you say amen? There's a redneck version of that sweet sentiment that says, if you love something, let it go. If it comes back, it's yours. If it don't come back, it was never yours anyway. What a sweet sentiment. There's a redneck version. You know what the redneck version is? Amen. You don't? I just about forgot it myself, but it'll come to me. Amen. If you love something, let it. Here's the redneck version. If you love something, let it go. If it don't come back, hunt it down and kill it. So at night, I'd get home from work, get all the other stuff done, get on the computer, and I knew he'd be online, and he's looking for me. And there's people online from all over the world, you know, that play online. And I'd go online, and sure enough, there he was on that playing that game, and I would see him, and I'd try to get at him. He's real good at it. He does it all the time. And he'd say, hi, Dad. And that just thrilled my heart when he'd type in, hi, Dad, and it would come up on the screen. Right in the middle of the game, it comes up, hi, Dad, and I'd type in, hey, son. Amen. And then there's this guy who was a friend of his. His name was Ultra from Argentina. This guy from down in Argentina plays online. And he said, is that your dad? And he says, yeah, that's my dad. And, you know, and this guy says, well, now I'm going to feel bad about shooting him. And my son says, don't feel bad. He'll kill anything that moves. And we have fun. We just had fun. We had a relationship. I wasn't just his old stuffed shirt daddy. I was playing a game with him online. We're still having fun. And I was telling the guy, because I was in my 50s, and I was telling the guy at work, he said, what are you going to do tonight, Rev? I said, I'm going home. I'm going to take care of a lot of things, and then I'm going to get online because I play with my son at night. Online. What do you play? Medal of Honor. We get on there with military sim. It's a free-for-all. Everybody shoots everybody. We have a big old time. Shoot anything that moves. Whoever kills the most things. I know it's not, you know, maybe. But I'm having a relationship with my son. Did anybody ever watch the Roadrunner cartoons? Did you ever go out and drop an anvil on anybody because you saw that? Okay, so get off of me. Can you say, man? I never dropped an anvil on anybody either. I watched Three Stooges, but I haven't never slapped Terry like that. I never did it. We've known each other for years and years. Yeah, right. And there was a guy there in his about 35 years old, I guess, at work. And I'm in my 50s then, because you can tell that was then and this is now. And now that's getting more distant, but that was back when. And he listened to me say that, and he looked longingly. And he said, I wish I had a relationship with my father like that. In other words, I wish that I and my father were not just parent and son. I wish I and my father were friends. I wish we could do things together as friends. I told you this, and this is all about intimacy tonight. And this is the true story, and I forget the name. The name's not important, but a very important dignitary. I don't know if he was in the Senate or if he was in the congressman, but he was a very important man years ago in Washington, D.C. Very busy, very important, very committed to his political responsibilities and personal responsibilities. And for his son's birthday, his son loved to fish. He lived to fish. He loved to fish. He promised his son that he would take him fishing on his 12th birthday. Take time from his busy agenda, go fishing with his son. And his son couldn't wait. He counted down the days, more than the birthday cake and new bicycle. was going fishing with my daddy. That was more important than the gifts. See, the gift of yourself is the greatest gift you'll ever give your children. Even if you can't get them much else, give them yourself. Praise God. Amen. Go out and roast. Don't just cook the wiener. Amen. Don't just boil it or nuke it in the microwave. Build a little fire outside and hold it over the fire and sing Kumbaya. Do something together. Can you say amen? Make it an event. And so anyway, the guy lived out his days. He didn't spend hardly any more time with his son. They never got close together. And the man died. And after the funeral, he was at his mom's house going through his dad's things and you know how you dispose of things and keep things for keepsakes. And he's going through, he found his dad's journal. And he began to thumb through his dad's journal. He kept a journal. He came to his 12th birthday date because the son, following his dad's lead, was keeping a journal. And he opened his dad's journal to the date of his 12th birthday. You know what it said? Went fishing with my, he gave the date, July 2nd, 19 or whatever. Went fishing with my son, a day wasted. And the son opened his journal to the same date. And you know what it said? Went fishing with my dad, the greatest day of my life. How sad that is, that we don't see the significance of really sharing intimacy with one another. But we have a God who is committed to having intimacy with us. I go to prepare a place for you, and the place is not what I want. This is, the purpose of heaven is not that you just enjoy the place, but that where I am, there you may be also. I want to be with you forever. Amen? Personally, it doesn't have to have streets of gold to satisfy me. Can you say amen? Personally, I do not care whether or not the gate is out of solid pearl or knotty pine. As long as I'm where he is. And my loved ones and my friends and the people I have come in contact with that have preceded me to that place. One day my wife will be there. My children will be there. I'm claiming them for the Lord. Amen. Amen. My daughter is already there. Praise God. Hallelujah. Born a preemie. She never got to taste anything but heaven. She knows nothing but heaven and him. I won't need an angelic escort to show me all the nooks and crannies of that big city. Praise God. I've got a daughter that's been living up there all this time, and she'll get to show dad and mom that place when we get home. Can you say amen? Edna Johnson is there. Praise God. Hallelujah. Yes, Brother Venable, when I get to heaven, do you have a daughter there? Didn't you say you had a daughter there? Yes. And she told me this just before she died. She said, yes, when I get there, I'm going to look. What is her name again? I said, Lisa Marie. You know, like Elvis Presley's you know, their daughter. Hey, she said, yes, Lisa, that's all I need to know. Soon as I get there, I'm going to look her up after I talk to Jesus for a while. And I'm going to tell her about you and tell her about her daddy. Amen. And I said, you do that when you get there. You tell her I love her and I can't wait to come there. And when I get there, I want her to show me around the city, the New Jerusalem. Can you say amen? Our faith is real. That place is real. But it's about love. Listen, if my loved ones aren't there, I don't care how pretty it is. If my wife, my children, the people I love are not there together. What good is gold without your mama, your daddy, your children, your wife, your husband? What good is gold without relationships? How cold riches are without love and intimacy. That's why just giving our kids and never investing in them, spending time with them, just giving them stuff hasn't brought a happiness to young people today. We actually, about 10 years ago, called the new X generation. We called them the X generation, and we called them busters. You know why we named the generation of young people busters? Because their homes are busted, their lives are busted, everything is broken. And all the designer jeans and all of the malls and all of the name brand stuff and hasn't satisfied, and all the high tech gaming machines hasn't satisfied. And I'm going to tell you, America with its opulence, you know why there's drug war? It's true. The reason there is such drug trouble in Mexico is the demand, the insatiable demand. We shouldn't be blamed for that, but we do have an issue here.
Amen.
Why do people have to shoot up, drink up, toke up? Because all of this stuff leaves you empty without love.
Amen.
Jesus' living water flows from a heart of love.
Amen.
A forever friend is a powerful thing. He keeps his promises because of his personal commitment to love his covenant partner, his friend forever. I said he keeps his promises because of his personal commitment to love his covenant partner, his friend forever. I was going to look at the ancient ritual of covenant making, but if we do that, we're going to be here sometime. But it involves the exchange of garments. Jonathan did that. Bible scholars call this the exchange life. Amen. He not only gave us his robe of righteousness, he took our sinful rags and was punished for our sin. But he gave us his robe, didn't he? Amen, to be clothed with. Your righteousness can't get you to heaven, no matter how wonderful you may become. But his robe will.
Amen.
Amen. And we put on his robe. And that's why the devil can't accuse us. Because our standing is his own righteousness. It's called a breastplate when you use it as your armor. God is so gracious. He loves you so much tonight. He wants intimacy with his people. That's why Jesus died on the cross. Heaven and hell are secondary issues, as important as they are, to the fact that God wants to be reconciled and wants a relationship of love with you. And the average church member don't know much about it. Because we see God as a Kris Kringle figure. Amen. We even see him as a father figure. But the kind of father that can give us the bicycle and not give us himself. Can you say amen? And we, because of no real relationship or don't know one could exist like that spiritually, would just soon have the bicycle and pursue nothing more. God said, I want to do more for you and give you a great present. I want to sit with you, be with you. I want to be with you forever, and I want to be your forever friend. Isn't that incredible? Jesus said in the New Testament, I have not called you servants, because the servant don't know what his Lord doeth. When it comes to family business, guess what happens? Even the people that serve the family have to get up and leave the room, because this is intimate. This is in the inner circle. Can you say, man, we're going to discuss things that only the immediate family has privy to. But I've not called you servants. Even though you are my servants, I do not identify, call you servants. What does he call us? I've called you friends. Hallelujah. I've called you what?
Friends.
Abraham said, I want, Abraham, God said, is my friend forever. When I made that covenant, and that starts running the bloodline. And we come into the bloodline when we come to Christ. We become Abraham's seed, and we have a forever friend. Can you say amen? Everybody say,
we have
a forever friend. That's why, listen, frame all of this in covenant and you'll understand how powerful it is. I will what? Listen to the covenant tone of this and tenure of it. I will never leave you. Everybody say that's forever friend stuff. Come on, listen. Do you see it? Are you getting it? I will never leave you. He didn't just say that. He framed that in covenant. This is God, a covenant-keeping God talking, who is in covenant with the seed. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will go with you all the way through the ups and downs and ins and outs, when you please me, when you don't. I won't quit you. John, I won't quit you, son. I won't quit you. You got a God like that. And with a God that won't quit me, I'll never quit him. Somebody give him praise tonight. Hallelujah. I got a God that'll pick me up if I fall down. Woo! If I just won't quit him and give up on myself and turn my back on him. Dinner, you got a God that won't quit you. Isn't it good? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You got a God that won't quit you, son. Hallelujah. Somebody give him praise. Hallelujah. Whew. Wow. There are people in this room that fell away from the Lord. But he didn't quit you. Hallelujah. And when you came back, he welcomed you with open arms. Because he made a covenant to love you with a different kind of love than this old world knows anything about. Can you say, man, I've loved you with what kind of love? An everlasting love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mushalabaki sandadabarete. I'm just praising him. There's no interpretation for that. God knows what I'm saying. Hallelujah. I'm saying things to him that I can't find words to express in the human language. Father, I praise you tonight. I praise you tonight. Hallelujah. Are you ready to worship this good and gracious God? Are you ready to come into a faith that worketh by love? Not just faith in the Word of God. It's holy and impeccable, inerrant as it is, and eternal. But faith in the God of the Word who said, I'll not fail you. I won't quit you. I won't leave you. I won't forsake you. I'll go with you every step of the way. Hallelujah. That's what causes my life to become stable, because a God like this makes me want to serve him with everything I am and everything I have. If a man love me, he'll keep my commandments. They will not be grievous unto him. Can you say amen? It won't seem like that. I'm given a hard task, put in a religious box. Amen. Hallelujah. Everywhere servant is used in the New Testament, it's a stronger word in the actual. You know what the stronger word is? Bond slave. You know what a bond slave is? Someone working off a debt that is bound by law to serve somebody. And yet there was no law binding Paul to serve Jesus except the law of love. And he said, if you want to really get these Jewish people to wake up and take notice of this new faith, he said, and this relationship we share with God of intimacy, he said, the Gentiles are doing by nature everything that's contained in the law. Not because the law demands it, but because the love of Christ does what? Constraineth me. Hallelujah. There were those people in the Old Testament who were bond slaves. They were working out a debt. The widow and her son with the cruse of oil, they were going to be sold into a bond slave to pay the debts. The husband's dead. And the bond slave had to work years to work off the debt. But what if you had a master? It was so wonderful. You didn't want your freedom to go do your thing because there could be nobody you could ever work for. As sweet and kind and loving and generous as a master. And so there came, after the debt was paid, you're free to go. But you know what some people did? They went to the doorpost of the house. Anybody ever had your ear pierced? They'd take a wooden mallet, little nail, go to the doorpost of the house, stick the nail up to their ear and whack it. Of course, then they'd pull it back out. What did they just do? They said, this master is so good. This master is so wonderful. Why would I want to leave a master like this? I'm going to commit myself without owing a debt. I'm going to give my heart here. I want this to be my home forever. I want to serve this sweet master as long as I live. Can you say, man? Paul said, that's how I serve Christ. That's how I serve. I'm a servant, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, a bond slave of Jesus, not because we just owe a debt, even a debt of gratitude, but we love him because he first loved us. God wants your heart. When he has your heart, he has your life. When he has your life, he's going to provide for you, protect you, care for you, fulfill you. He wants intimacy with his people so that he can satisfy the deepest longings of your soul. To love and to be loved, psychologists said a long time ago when I was in high school, to love and to be loved is the greatest need of man. Amen? To love and to be loved is the greatest need of man. There's nothing greater that we need. And God is the one who first loved us. And we love him because he first loved us. And we fulfill that. That was something else that I've often said. I don't know who quoted it. I wished I had. Man needs to be loved the most when what? When he deserves it the least. And only God and the love of God in our hearts can fulfill this incredible need within us all. Make no mistake about it, for God so loved you that he gave his son. And because Christ so loved us for the joy that was set before him, he endured that cross. When he was on the cross, we were on his mind. Can you say amen? Isn't he a good God tonight? Are you glad we're talking about this covenant and understanding just how much and how deeply God loves you? Will you stand tonight? Let's worship him before we leave this little humble setting tonight. My faith is growing in his love. And his love for me, his unquestionable, unfathomable love, solicits my absolute trust. And that constitutes the framework for all of my faith tonight. Sister Venable, I do not want a 25-year-old looker from Nicaragua.
That's a good thing, brother.
I love you, sugar. Hallelujah. Amen. One night we were having spaghetti, and I said, honey, she said, honey, I'll just love Pastor. I said, Pastor loves you too, darling. We have a good life. Amen. And the best of it is just beginning again. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That's my forever friend. That's just not my old lady. It's not my ball and chain. Amen. This is not the, what is the other words? Oh, you guys are really smart. You guys, wisdom. The gift of wisdom is in place. Amen. That's it, boys. Just keep it shut. Zip it up. That's right. That's right. Yeah, battle axe? No way. No. Terry, it was on the tip of your tongue, but you bridled your tongue. Praise God. Hallelujah. We don't want to, nobody said a word. Did you notice that? We were wrong. Hey, you heard of the three wise men? We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 wise men here tonight. 7 counting me, but I done blew it. Y'all are wise men. I'm a wise guy. Can you say? Hallelujah. God is good tonight. Listen, we're in the time of trouble. The greatest miracles we've ever seen in our day, in our personal life, we're going to see. The times are getting tough for God to keep his covenant. Amen. And father us, protect us, and provide for us is going to involve the supernatural. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. So I'm expecting to see the mighty miracles of God and to hear testimonies of God taking care of his children like we've never heard in the years before the troubles come. Hallelujah. Somehow God is going to make a way for you. Somehow God is going to make a way for me. Praise the Lord. And I'm going to bow to this great King and this great Master. Let's give him praise. You can leave when you're ready. Thank you for coming tonight. Did you learn anything? Hallelujah. God.